Russian aircraft arriving in the Venezuelan capital Caracas have fueled US claims that the country's president Nicolas Maduro is planning to spirit billions of dollars worth of gold and other assets out of the country as he stares down a US-backed challenge to his leadership. A standoff with the opposition figure Juan Guaido has lasted almost a month and has been marked by huge opposition demonstrations, the latest overnight. Critics of Mr. Maduro say he jailed opposition figures and stuffed ballot boxes to remain in power. But with the United States as its most immediate great power neighbour, Venezuelan and indeed Latin American politics generally is more murky than that. Dr. Ralph Newmark is director of the Institute of Latin American Studies at La Trobe University. I asked him who is the legitimate president of Venezuela.
Well, in my view, Maduro is clearly legitimate. He won the presidential election. I think we have to understand here that in Venezuela, voting is optional, and the so-called opposition boycotted the presidential election. It was their choice. And, of course, Maduro won, clearly. And under their system, he is the president. Now, in the assembly elections, and this is rather interesting, that in fact, the opposition tended to receive a majority, as it turned out. But the point is, it's like saying that because the Democrats won a majority in the Congress in Washington, therefore they can call on President Trump to resign. But Trump won the presidential election, whatever you think of that, and Maduro won the Venezuelan presidential election. I mean, and I think the overseas reactions are such that, well, basically saying, we don't recognise your choice of president at the presidential election. We're going to choose someone else to be president of Venezuela. These are the outside peoples. And basically, it's like saying, well, I recognise Hillary Clinton as president of the US.
But repeatedly, tens of thousands of people, seas of people, have gone onto the streets in Venezuela to back Guaido. Is that not legitimate support for him?
Well, I think the problem is, and I think the point is we need historical perspective here. Clearly, when 1999, when Hugo Chavez, who oddly enough was a left-wing military person, took control, he basically ushered in quite a major change in Venezuela, which was to see a redistributive policies directing these oil revenues to a broader base of the population, certainly marginalised people. Now, as a response, and I'm getting echoes here of what happened back in Chile in the 70s when the Allende won, was that the middle class basically refused to accept this. And in many ways, ultimately, if you like, really went on strike against their own government and boycotted their own government. I mean, in a way, you're getting the Venezuelan economic and political and middle class declaring war on their own country. And now, of course, the economy really, in a sense, collapses.
The US suspects that Maduro has stolen assets of the Venezuelan people, gold, bank accounts, secreted around the world. Has he?
Well, it's not proved to my satisfaction, but can I just say that this issue of corruption is universal. Latin America, sadly, has been plagued with endemic corruption on all sides, mainly due to the fact that of the way of its colonization and the Spanish and Portuguese laying down large land holding and plantation systems and oligarchs, and you get strong men. Basically, the issue is that when you have such personalized politics, corruption is endemic. Now, whether he is more corrupt than the next guy, I mean, I think these are very hard things to tell. My view, he wouldn't be the first, but I'm not actually convinced that he has stolen.
The US has recently appointed Elliot Abrams as the US envoy for Venezuela. He has a past in Latin America for US governments, on behalf of US governments. What role do you expect he will play here?
Well, I think the US traditional role is rather interesting, actually, because, I mean, I think, you know, well, we could say for 200-odd years, the US, initially under the Monroe Doctrine in the 19th century, really regards Latin America as its property, its backyard, and it feels it has the right to decide who will run Latin America and for whose benefits. I mean, this just is, I mean, there's so many coups backed by the US, you can run out of naming them, but clearly goes back to 1954 in Guatemala, 64 in Brazil, 73 in Chile, I mean, goes on and on, in Nicaragua later on with the Contras. I mean, basically, the issue is that Abrams, I think, will clearly find a way of... it's a coup. I mean, basically, he will do his best to get rid of Maduro and their supporters. I mean, the country's in such chaos, something has to happen. But you can see how you can destabilize a country, just as the middle classes did in Chile in 73 against Allende. The only difference in this one is that, of course, we have the left is military.
And there's a whole crisis around Venezuela's oil now too, after Washington, which is a major recipient of their oil, slapped the sanctions on. How critical will oil be in deciding the outcome of this crisis?
Well, see, this exacerbates the problem, and I think the US has long, certainly Maduro, has had boycotts on oil equipment. Of course, I think the US can... that the Venezuelans can find other markets, hopefully. But the point being that, I mean, clearly this is an economic strangulation. I mean, it's interesting that the only country that has managed to survive having an alternative redistributive economy is Cuba. And, of course, that was very much helped by the old Soviet Union, which, of course, brings Russia into this equation.
And Russia is in this equation, isn't it, supporting Maduro?
It's quite extraordinary. I mean, I think there's some interesting, clearly games between Putin and Trump are going on. I think that Putin is a very wily character, and it's not an ideological issue for him. I think it's really, in a sense, these sort of games of leverage and with the US, and of course China comes into it as well. Mm. I don't think Venezuela would have problems selling its oil ultimately, but the problem is the economic chaos precipitated by, well, people leaving the country. I mean, when you have a middle class, who's actually obviously clearly economically active and principled, by boycotting their own country, you're going to get chaos always.
And you mentioned some of the crises in Latin America over the years that the US has been involved in. Many of those were terribly, terribly violent. Is it likely we will see such an outcome here?
Well, I tend to think it might. I mean, the problem here is that one saving grace is that, in fact, the military are on, if you like, the nationalist left side. Clearly, in Chile's case, where Pinochet and his military had a lot of ammunition, there was a lot of damage done. Same in the Brazilian coup of 1964. I think it's hard to know. Well, I suspect, and I'm worried, that there'll be a sort of multilateral invasion organized by the US, which will include clearly Colombia. And now, sadly, Brazil, I think, will get involved with the Bolsonaro right-wing government there. I mean, I think Maduro really is facing a real crisis. But the thing, the enemy, of course, for over those years, right up to the 90s, was, of course, so-called communism. The real enemy, I think, underneath is clearly Latin American countries exercising what could be called economic nationalism, like Chavez and Maduro have nationalized a lot of industries. And this is an anathema to the US because it closes economic sectors. I'm not very optimistic, by the way. I mean, I think it's gone to the point where there probably will be an unpleasant resolution.
Dr. Ralph Newmark is Director of the Institute of Latin American Studies at La Trobe University.